Book of Matthew, chapter 5, reading through 17 through 20. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, 17 to 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no wise, in no case or wise, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, from this passage onwards, the Lord is talking to the disciples that, and bringing out the major differences and between his ministry, what now he is going to introduce, and what they have been hitherto practicing in their lives because of on the basis of law. So the first thing he wanted to do is, any new teaching when he is bringing, there is an apprehension that the Lord has come to destroy the law and introduce altogether something new. But the Lord wanted to say, no, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, so that whatever is now finding not perfect, so that can be perfected and then move on. But then he started explaining the differences from one today's passage onwards in a different way, and what the Lord wanted to introduce the new dispensation, and what the children of Israelites were practicing up to now, till now, given by Moses. So in 17, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The law was given by Moses, and once we see, we enter into the kings, and even from Samuel, he was a prophet and a judge, and later on we find the time of prophets, and where the prophets are also received the message from God and explained to the children of Israelites, which was applicable to them then, and also which is for the future, both. So the Lord said, I have come to fulfill both law and the prophets. So whatever the law said, that I am going to do it, and whatever is said by the prophets, that is going to be fulfilled through me. For example, in the law there are many things which are mentioned, primarily the sacrifices. And in those sacrifices, one is ceremonial things like burnt offering and thanksgiving offering, sin offering, and all these offerings were called ceremonial. It comes under ceremonial law. Then there is also moral law. In the moral law, like do not covet, and do not commit adultery, and love thy neighbor as thyself. All those come under moral laws. So the children of Israelites were happy in fulfilling the ceremonial law, like if anybody commit a sin, they bring an offering, sin offering, and visit priest, and tell him the sin what they committed, and to receive the forgiveness of that particular sin they committed, they offer an offering, but without having any kind of a repentance or conviction in the heart. So that was totally missing. There is no contrite or a broken spirit in them because of the sin they committed. But outwardly, they have fulfilled the law. What Moses said, if anybody commits sin, then you offer the sin offering. And they are fulfilling that one. They are happy about it. And also they take pride on that. Because everything, whatever according to the law, Moses described that we are able to fulfill. But when it comes to their convictions, and what was the meaning behind those offerings, that offering, they never realized and they never observed that according to the spirit which was behind the law. So they failed there. But when the Lord came, he said, I have come to fulfill the law. That means it is not only the sacrifice, but also the meaning behind the sacrifice. That is what he wanted to bring it out. So in the New Testament, we are not going to, he said, I am not going to destroy anything what was mentioned in the law, but I am going to fulfill it. But not only fulfilling, but also I am going to bring it up what actually is meant in the law. Then in the ceremonial law, in the moral laws also, for example, in the next passage about adultery or doing this or doing that, then it is not a physical act of thing, but it is actually a sin committed in the heart, or getting angry with the brother also. All those things which they have overlooked, and as long as they did not commit, they thought they are right. But the Lord now, what he is going to do is, what was not perfect, and he is going to make it perfect by fulfilling everything what is written in the law. So he wanted to encourage the disciples and try to understand the new dispensation, which is by the grace now going to be introduced, and which will actually elevate the people in their moral standards of life in relation to God and also in relation to man, both. Then the life is much more acceptable in the sight of God than now what is going on in their lives. So Book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, the sin which was ruling because of the law has told them this is sin. But the Lord has no power to bring the deliverance in the man not to commit sin. So what the Lord Jesus Christ was done, where the man was liable or prone to commit sin, that is flesh, he has condemned the flesh by offering himself on the cross. That is how he fulfilled the law. And also opened the way, new way for us. And now, earlier the way the flesh was not crucified and committing sin without any conviction, offering a sin offering. But in the case of Lord Jesus Christ, he paid the penalty by offering himself. And when we, by faith, offering ourselves and identifying ourselves with the Lord on the cross, our flesh is crucified. We are quickened in the spirit, and now we will be able to live a overcoming life, fulfilling the actually law or more than the law. That means in the inside there is a conviction and there is a desire to follow the right thing of the Lord, and both are now working out. Earlier, they committed sin and they offered the sin offering without any true conviction or an expressive desire of trying to come out of that sin. Because that is what they said. And also, even if they wanted to come, the flesh has got no ability to come out of committing sin. But in the New Testament, the Lord has punished the flesh, which is prone to commit sin, and also opened the new door that since the flesh is crucified, the man will have an overcoming life over sin. And that is how he has fulfilled the law. And that provision in the Old Testament was not there. And the flesh was not crucified. Only the animal was crucified. So now here, our Lord who has come in the likeness of sinful body, in flesh and blood, and he committed his life on the cross as a sin offering so that our sins may be laid upon him. And when we identify our flesh on the cross by faith, we are redeemed and fulfill the law, and not and by having the newness of life imparted us, then we have an overcoming life over sin. So he said, I have come not to destroy but to fulfill. Then book of Romans chapter 13 verse 8. And book of Romans chapter 13 verse 8. Woe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So if anybody loving his neighbor or a brother, fulfilling the law. But now what is he saying, verse 9 onwards? For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So all these Old Testament commandments are included comprehensively in one statement. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you love your neighbor, then you will not covet his wife, all property or any of those things. And that includes everything. So loving our neighbors as ourselves. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Then what did Lord came? I have come. God so loved the world. He sent his only begotten son. Then he died for all of us. He became a propitiation for all of us. He died for all our sins. That is how he has manifested the fulfillment of law upon the cross when he died himself. So they thought that he is going to introduce the new things and going to stop or destroy the law. He said no, that when the Lord said love thy neighbor as thyself, and also he has fulfilled that love in his life by offering himself, manifesting his love to us, then he has fulfilled the law. Both God, love thy God as with all thy heart, that also he fulfilled. Loving thy brother or neighbor as thyself, that also he fulfilled, and he completed the fulfillment of law through his body. Then when it comes to the prophets, see in that book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. So this is a lawgiver Moses was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I have come to fulfill that one. Then book of Isaiah chapter 53, we see the entire passage. How he comes, offers himself, and he is going to be the one who brings all of us out into deliverance from the power of the sin, power of the death, and power of the world. So many other prophets, and everyone was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and even in the book of Psalms, so let us see that one, book of Psalms chapter 40, verse 6 onwards. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. Mine ears has thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering has thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is written in my heart. So to fulfill the law and what was written upon his heart, to do the will of the Father, so that it is not the burnt offering or the sin offering, it is whole his very life. To fulfill the entire law in its entirety, the Lord has come and offered himself. So which is written in the prophets also. Then when we come back to Matthew 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one title shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So whatever is written, and accordingly that everything will be completed. And he became that wonderful example of how he completed everything what was written in the book of law and brought the satisfaction to the heart of the Father. And verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So now he started introducing how people will be entering into the kingdom and who is least and who is great. So in that aspect, then he spoke about the two classes. One, there are people who teach the law but do not practice. And there are another class of people who teach and practice, and they are another class. The first class of people, he said, they teach, but they do not do it in their life. So it is meant for their teaching. It is meant for only to teach others. And to them, the Lord was saying that they are going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And there is another kind of people, that those who are not only teach, but also practice everything in their life, whatever they are teaching. And they are going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So when you take he was referring to the Pharisees and the scribes. Scribes are the people who are the teachers in those days. So that means they are going to teach in the synagogues every time when they gather about the law and how they need to live their lives. But as far as their life is concerned or practicing is concerned, and they are not going to, they did not do that the way it's supposed to be done. And also it is not done by them as they taught. So Pharisees are the people that who outwardly practices the law, but they have forgotten the spirit behind it. Scribes are the people who taught them, but they did not really practice in their life. So he was talking to both the groups of people, what is the status of their mind in those days. Now you see here in the book of Matthew chapter 23, I'm reading from verse 1 onwards. Book of Matthew chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So both scribes and Pharisees, they say but they don't do it. So if anybody is like that, either a Pharisee who outwardly manifesting the religion, but do not have any real spirit of God to practice, and with a true conviction, he does not take up that. Or the scribes, they have become regular teachers, but are not practicing what they are teaching to the others. So if anybody is doing like that, and they are going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. So that means there is a question that in the kingdom of heaven, if we put that one as the rule of the 1,000 years rule of our Lord Jesus Christ in the coming dispensation, so they are going to be there, but they will not be, they are going to be the position of very least people. But then if at all they are entering, what is that position that they are going to occupy as the least position in the kingdom? See, I also don't know. But if at all they enter, and they are the least position, means once they enter, once they are entering in, means it is a glorious kingdom. and where there is people who are not only just spirits called, but also perfected. Those are the people who are totally satisfied, sanctified. And those are the people who please the Lord. But these men, like Pharisees and scribes, they were faring, but they did not do it. So that was not a good thing. So then what I understand, I don't know whether that can, but it can be interpreted differently, but what I understand is this. They may be saved, but not having any position in the kingdom of heaven for that 1,000-year period. And once that 1,000-year period is over, then they may be entering into the eternal kingdom where they will also be there with the Lord, because they have, in a measure, they came to know the Lord, believed the Lord, they have understood the word, but failed to practice in their lives. But when a person who is failed to practice in the life, so I don't think that he can have any position in the kingdom of heaven in the ruling. So the Pharisees and the scribes, those who, that means they have a double standard. What they teach and what they live or what they practice in their life is different. And that is a very dangerous thing. And when we are teaching, if you are not practicing, you should say that I am not able to do this. Be merciful unto me, Lord. But when we behave as if I have been practicing and it is meant for others, those who are not practicing, and that is a hypocrisy. And the Lord is going to take account of that. And we should be careful. So if a man is reaching to the spirit of a Pharisee or a scribe and not having the conviction in his heart or her heart, then that whole problem comes up. The word, if they are taken up that as only for preaching others and not meant for allowing the life of the Lord to function in their life, then we are causing loss to ourselves. Primarily, the word, when we read, we meditate, it is meant for our edification, our work of sanctification to progress. It is not just for the knowledge. That understanding, when it is not translated as in our personal experience, in our day-to-day life, then whatever we teach also, it has got no life, no power. It is no good.
Brother.
Yes.
So, that particular verse, the least in the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
these are those believers
mm-hmm.
who knows the truth
mm-hmm.
and also prophesy, but they are still living in the flesh or in the sin of the sinfulness of the whole nature. Would that be them?
There are two things, Jayant. One, suppose you know and you are failing to practice it, that is a different issue. But you have an earnest desire to overcome. But these Pharisees and scribes, they made it in a such a way, it is only meant for the hearers, not for them.
Mm.
That was very sad.
Hmm.
So when we were young, then we used to have a small story in our villages for the festivals. There are some kind of entertainment programs. So one man will give a story about these epics of Hindus. And that the scribe who used to narrate the story used to tell that to the village people not to eat onions, so that there will be a price come down and then he will have the whole thing. So the program is over, he comes back home and he asks his wife, did you cook? She said, yes, I cooked. Then he asked her, did you put onions? She said, no, you said in the meeting then you should not have onions, so that is why I did not put onions. He said, it is meant for others, not for you and for me. So you should use it so that everything we can have it in a cheaper price. So for everything, the people have found ways to convert and make it as to their own advantage, but not to the other people. That was heart which was condemned by the Lord. But if a believer who understood the truth wanted to practice earnestly, but if he is failing, the Lord will forgive and restore and encourage him according to the measure of his earnest desire to work out and to come out. So that is different, Jayad. But any one of us, when we are recognizing that, Lord, this is the truth and I am not able to overcome this, and I have some of those things which are, I am not hanging my flesh on the cross wholeheartedly every day, every time, that is why there is a failure. And encourage me, teach me how to hang my flesh on the cross all the time, so that I may have a victorious life. But if a person do not have that desire, that is the serious state. So when the Lord was speaking, the state of heart, which was Pharisees and scribes, were taking pride on their self-righteous life and believing that there is no sin in them. They are everything they are practicing. We will come to that portion now. And that was a very sad state of the matter that time and also even today.
But that's what I was thinking, because the verse 20 kind of overrides the verse 19.
Yeah.
And that probably then kind of confirms,
yes,
the kingdom of heaven, what is referred in 19, would be in relation to the millennial kingdom.
Yes. Both are talking about the millennial kingdom.
Yeah. Because if we interpret this that, like from an outside perspective, that even if I don't live the life, I don't bear the fruit, I still will be in the kingdom of heaven.
No.
And that would not be the case, because verse 20 then kind of clearly, yes, outlines here that you have to surpass that righteousness of the Pharisee.
That's right. You have to move. Yes. So, but when a person who not only does and teaches, and there is a life in that teaching, and that is the power, and the Lord is pleased with that. And we should be actually in the assemblies and wherever God raises the teacher, they should make it as a primary focal point of their life before teaching. That is the experience which they live. But whenever we have lived as a professional ministers of any organized or institutionalized Christianity, then we go back to the class of those people. That is the danger. It is the life living. That is the most primary important thing in our lives. Whenever we are compromising, whenever we are neglecting, whenever we come to make light of the situation of our failures and trying to justify our not able to live, then slowly we get into the slot of those people. And that is not good for us. And he said, those who do and teach, they will be great. And in another place also, in Matthew chapter 18, we will come there later. There also he said, they are great. So that means in the kingdom, there are different positions. And some are greater, and some are great, and some are normal. But according to the measure, what the Lord desires and decides, according to our faithfulness, the way we have committed, loved the Lord, followed the Lord, did the things of the Lord, accordingly he will put us there. So as we see in 1 Corinthians 15, and the glory of the sun is different, glory of the moon is different, glory of the different stars in the sky are different. So accordingly, everyone whosoever entered into the kingdom of heaven, in that glorious kingdom, to rule with the Lord, everyone, the one star differs in glory from other. Similarly, all of us differ, those who are even entered into the kingdom of heaven. So we need to understand that. And verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So then he is putting a break here, that there is a Pharisee's righteousness and also what now the Lord is introducing, the righteousness of different new dispensation. The Pharisees' dispensation righteousness is mentioned in Book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. So I'm reading from verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. That is what is the Pharisee does. And also Book of Matthew chapter 23. You can hold on your finger on Luke 18. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not leave the other undone. So those ceremonial and the moral laws, they are superficially doing, but behind those offerings or observation of those simple, trivial things of that matters, but actually matter what it would have mattered is mercy, faith, and justice. They have left them. Now you see how it is explained here in Luke chapter 18 when we come back. And verse 10, verse 12, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as this, as his eyes unto the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So when Pharisee came to the temple, and he was talking and beating upon the good works what he did, but there is no conviction of sin. But the publican, so he could not even lift up his eyes unto the temple. That means there is so much of guilt, conviction in his heart. It is a broken heart. Then he said, be merciful. Whereas for Pharisee, he was taking pride upon what he has done. That is his self-righteousness. But here, this publican, he could not even lift up his head and see, look straight unto the temple. So when a man was not convicted of sin, and outwardly when he started doing everything right, then there is no conviction of the guilt or exercising faith on the Lord, how his sins can be forgiven by faith, that he can draw the strength from the Lord, depending upon the Lord, then he can do what is mercy and justice towards others. That was not an experience to them. And while the second law, the second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself, while he is in the temple, while he is praying, he said, I am not like this publican. That means he is looking down upon his brother. So he is not fulfilling the one. But what he is taking or harping or taking pride upon, the simple things. And that was so sad. So if then the Lord said, this man was justified or declared righteous in my sight. He was approved because he exercised faith. He brought the conviction of his broken heart. And he said, now I am a sinner, be merciful unto me. So if a man who is taking pride upon his self-righteous act and not looking for what God can do, how in the sight of God a man can be justified by faith, And through faith by grace, that was completely left in the mind of a Pharisee. But what the Lord was saying, if your righteousness exceeds, that means when we come to the Lord like this publican and convicted of our sins, feeling guilty, and also believing on the Lord that who became a propitiation for my sins, and the blood of Lord Jesus Christ was taken to the heavens to sprinkle upon the mercy seat which was in before the Father, so that my sins are removed from my account. Everything is blotted out. I am set free. Not only that, because I am justified and also brought into the wonderful relationship with God, in my regular practices of my Christian life, the way what is approved in the sight of God, and accordingly, and God helps me to do what is written in the book of law. Book of 1 Samuel. So verse 21 and 22. Chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. But the people took off the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. The Pharisees were taking pride on just doing outward sacrifices, but the publican was doing what is actually showing obedience and bringing his faith on the Lord. Saul was failed there, and the Samuel, even in the Old Testament, he has to correct that one. And book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That is what the publican had. A broken heart, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So the publican or Saul and all of these people, a Pharisee or like Saul, they are taking only the pride because of their self-righteous attitude. They are able to do what God has asked them, but they have totally forgotten. And why it is written, how needed to be done, what is the important in the heart, or it is an outward act of just in a very casual manner. When David committed sin, then he immediately realized that any amount of sacrifice will not take away his guilt. And he said, and I am broken. And if you want a sacrifice, I would have given it. But that is not what you are looking for. You are actually looking for a broken and a contrite heart. That is what with that I bring in. That publican has brought that one. So now when we began a new dispensation with the Lord, and what we are now learning is, and a person has to come first with that kind of a heart. Lord, that I am broken. And if I was born in a Christian family, I was taught reading the word, praying, going to church, offering tithes, and worshipping, prayer, all these activities. But inward my heart is something different. And if that is not really broken, and if I don't realize and recognize that my heart is not really trusting the Lord's the way I ought to exercise faith in my life, I'm not looking for a mercy, and I'm taking pride on my outward activities of Christian nature, then those all will become the activities of the righteous acts of the Pharisees. But a man, on the contrary, is broken, contrite, come to the Lord and express his guilt and failures, and establishes the relationship with the Lord by faith, enjoys the grace, and receives the power to overcome the sin and learning to do what is right in the sight of God. For example, with that kind of a heart, David, what did he do? He forgave his enemy Saul twice. What did Phinehas do in Numbers? And he has expressed his zeal to the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he had punished the sin and the sinner both in the camp. So that the adultery or the corruption or the plague may not touch the camp. Then there were people in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, both the places. They have dispersed what they have and they manifested the righteous acts of God. And that one was not there. Because when the lawyer was asking, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life or to enter into the kingdom? He said, whatever you have, you give it to the poor people. Because he loved his possessions, then he was displeased and went back. But those who are able to do the righteous acts of God are, he dispersed and gave more to the poor. So that is the contrary thing. So in our hearts, when it is broken and contrite, when you are able to love God, that is the spirit which was the act of the new dispensation righteous act. But in the Old Testament, if enemy is killing you, you have a right to kill it. But that will not work in the New Testament. He said, those who are persecuting you, you love them and you pray for them. And that is the righteous act, righteousness according to the operation of the righteous life which is in us, which is of the Lord working in us. Even if they do some good act, they take pride that they did it. But in the New Testament, we don't take anything. We take Lord living in me and he is making me to work because of his life. So there is nothing I can take. But he is teaching me what he would like me to do things. And for that one, as I exercise faith and his grace is giving me to overcome and his mercies are giving me to strengthen my life and to move on to do what is right, seemingly right in the sight of God. Then not only teaching, not only doing, then he is also making me to teach. That is how the New Testament believer will say. Lord, in the Old Testament, or my Old Testament spirit would say, hate those who do not like me. But the New Testament say, if you are being persecuted for the sake of Christ, you are blessed. And you pray for them. And if your enemy is hungry, then give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. And you receive him. You love him. That is the New Testament righteous act. But in the Old Testament, get him lost. It is good if he is suffering. But in the New Testament, the righteous act of love of the Lord is God came into this world and loved all. Died for all. When I was enemy to him, he loved me and died for me. So what he said, and if I am being persecuted by anyone, the Lord said, you are blessed and you pray for him. And you receive him. And you love him. And see, in the heart, outwardly I may not hate or manifest. But in the heart, even if I have a single thought contrary to the nature of the law of grace in my heart about anybody, then all my righteous deeds will not be counted. Then the Lord will bring that point. Why did you not exercise love towards your neighbor? That is the law. But in the New Testament also it is still valid. If you love him, then you receive him. If you love him, pray for him. If you love him, you feed him. Then otherwise, how will I show forth my righteous act? It is only by going to church, doing twice the prayer, reading the word, giving tithes, and doing all outward activities. If my heart is far from the Lord, how I am going to do the righteous deeds of the Lord, which the Lord is asking me? Book of Philippians chapter 3. verse 8 and 9. Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. When I have suffered the loss of all things, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So what was his position in the law that in the previous verses he said, I was born in a tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, and he did everything wonderfully. According to the law, I was blameless. I could do everything. So I could take pride on the things, and I started persecuting the Christians. That was, I took pride on that. Not only I persecuted Christians in Jerusalem, and I took permission to go and persecute the Christians in Damascus. So my zeal was so much. And I took pride on those things. And I have no heart of grace and mercy. And my heart was not broken. But the Lord visited me on the way to Damascus. And he broke my heart. And he made me to see what is the pride filled my heart as a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. All outward life. Now after that he says, that was all, I count that as a dung. So that means if anybody is considering that he is great by outward activities, and if his heart is still far from the Lord, not trusting the Lord to live the life of the Lord, and exercising his own flesh and strength, that is all coming to the Phariseeism. That means my righteous act is not at all going to be considered by the Lord. Then in verse 9, and be found in him. Now it is the new thing. Not having mine own righteousness, the old Pharisee righteousness, no, I am putting it aside. That is no good for me at all. I consider that as a dung, waste. Not at all worthy to be considered. He was a great scholar. A good reputation. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is by God by faith. So by faith, I may continue to do those things, loving my enemies. That is why wherever he went, where he has been rejected, people wanted to kill him. And where he preached and formed the assemblies, when he was not fully accepted, but still his heart went after them. He prayed for them, and he continuously pleaded for them, and those who are not doing well, that he carried the burden all through his life for them. That is the righteousness of God working in a person. A broken and a contrite heart. Then when we are simple matters, our hearts are not fully right with the Lord, towards the people, towards the righteous things which we have been freely justified, and we do not beat our chest, we lift up our eyes and talking pridely, and those all things Lord abhors those things. A heart which is broken, a heart which is contrite and willing to look at through the eyes of the Lord all the brothers and sisters, loves them, receives them, accepts them, and does whatever it is of the Lord for them. And they will be greatest. So those ways it applied to Pharisees and scribes, outwardly living in the New Testament. And many of us have become like that over a period of time. And that is a dangerous thing. A broken heart all the time. Lord, you are the one who can really make me and my faith may learn to look unto the faithfulness of God. And my inability, thy grace may be made sufficient. And in my failures, the consequences of my all failures, thy mercies may be made enough and abundant for me. And thou may pour love in my heart towards my brothers and sisters and to all, so that I may have the world learning to look at through the eyes of my Lord. Then all my self-righteousness and exclusivism that thinking that I am great, everything may be put on the cross. Lord, be merciful unto us. Then those lives are blessed. So if anybody has questions, then we can do it.